And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, Father, every single one of us have come here this morning thinking things about you that are not worthy of you. We're sorry. We thought less of you than we should have. Father, vindicate your name here today, this morning. Through your word, in the mouth of your Son, show us that you are better than we thought, that you are a good Father. Open the eyes of our heart. Let's see you, Father, for who you really are. Amen. I forgot to say, because it's communion, our young folk are with us this morning. And so what do? I have got in my sermon a line of a song. The first young person who can tell me what the song is, who sang it, gets a chocolate bar. So listen carefully to the sermon. This is a bit of an old song, but I think you'll still know it. But since you're here, I'll begin with a few lines from a Walt Disney classic. But this isn't the song. You're not getting a chocolate for this. All right, so you know when you watch animated movies with your children, and halfway through the movie, you think this is for adults, because sometimes the script is just so funny and clever, you don't even know what your children are laughing at, because it's so, that's funny, and they don't get it. Well, anyway, one of my favorite Walt Disney movies, I think it's a classic, is Tangled. Do you know the movie Tangled? Work with me here. I hope you know it. It's look, for a guy who doesn't have hair, it's a great movie to watch, Tangled. The script is hilarious and clever, very clever. Now, for those of you who don't know, so the story is a remake of the old fairy tale with Rapunzel. So Rapunzel is this girl with magic hair, and her hair has got healing properties. And so the wicked witch comes along and steals her from the king and queen and locks her up in a tall tower and pretends that the wicked witch pretends that she's mum and that she's a loving, caring mother. But the real reason is so that as Rapunzel's hair grows longer and longer, the wicked witch can use the power for herself. And would you believe it? And I don't think there's any movie anywhere in the world like this that your child makes you younger, because you know how far-fetched that is. But anyway, so the story begins. Rapunzel, the young girl with the long hair, is about to turn 18. And at 18, she wants to know what the outside world is like, because she's been locked in this tower, right? And the bright lights are attracting her, just like every other teenager. The world has got these bright lights. Actually, they're lanterns lit for her, but that, anyway, you go watch the movie. And so she goes to her wicked witch, who she thinks is her mother, and she says to her, "Mother, I want to leave." And this, obviously, the wicked witch doesn't want her to go, and so she sings this song, which is brilliant. It's called "Mother Knows Best." And I can't do it all for you, but here are some of the words. "I guess I knew this day was coming. I knew you'd want to leave the nest. And then Rapunzel goes, but mother. And she goes, shh, shh, trust me, pet. Mother knows best. Take it from your mumsy. On your own, you won't survive. You're sloppy, underdressed, immature, clumsy. Please, they'll eat you up alive. You're gullible, you're naive, you're positively grubby, ditzy, and vague. Plus, I believe you're getting kind of chubby. I'm saying this because I love you. Mother understands. Mother knows best. Mother's here to help you. And then suddenly the mother stops and says, Rapunzel. And she says, yes, don't ever ask to leave this tower again. And Rapunzel goes, yes, mother. Now, this is all fun. I know you're going to go home and watch it, but this is all fun. It's lighthearted, but here's the thing. This is a familiar theme in Hollywood. Very, very regular theme. It's this. Children know better. That's a theme that comes out of Hollywood all the time. Movie after movie, parents are stupid. Parents are ignorant. They still type on their phones with one finger. How dumb is that? Parents are bungling from one relationship to another. This is a great theme. The parents go through divorce after divorce. They go through broken relationships. And the child watches and knows better. The child knows what's going on. The children are the wise ones. The children will save the day, save the environment, free Willy and whatever. You know what parents are for? Parents are for to lock you away from all the joy that's out there in the world. And so the message is, don't trust your parents. Trust your own heart. You know what you want. You know what you need. Follow your dreams. You know what will make you happy. Your parents don't know what you really need. Look what Jesus says in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. What? You went from Rapunzel to Jesus. How did that just happen? Here's why. I suspect so many Christians view God as a bad parent. So many of us believe that God doesn't know what I need. Do you know why he doesn't know what I need? Because he's not giving it to me. So obviously he doesn't know what I need. We treat God like a mean, overbearing parent who locks us away from so much fun. God doesn't know what I need. It began with our first parents. They were called Adam and Eve. God gave them everything. Paradise, trees, rivers, everything. But he didn't give them the one thing they needed. That tree over there. Just that tree. That's the tree I actually need. God gave me, God's given me all this other stuff. But actually, that's the tree that I need. And he's locking me away from it. And we're all like that. I need that thing over there. And God won't, it's a lover. I need that lover. God won't give it to me. I need that money over there. He's just not giving it to me. I need health. And he just won't give it to me. God's not giving it to me. He doesn't know what I need. So, how can I get God to give me what I need? Easy. Turn to religion. Look at verse 7. That's the question religion answers. How you can get God to give you what you want. Look at verse 7. When you pray, says Jesus, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Listen, they think they will be heard for their many words. Here is religion. I can manipulate God, in this case through lots of words and empty phrases, to give me what I want, to get him to hear me. And so I can get God to give me health, wealth, prosperity, all those things I know I need, and he doesn't know, by manipulating God. But Jesus says, verse 8, don't be like that. Your Father, look at verse 8, he knows what you need before you even ask him. God is a perfect Father. He knows exactly what you need. And so Jesus says to us over the last 3 weeks, Jesus has been saying the same thing. You've got your Father wrong. Let me teach you, says Jesus. Let me help you understand what your Father is really about. Let me teach you how to pray. That's what Jesus has been doing. Here was the first talk. And Jesus says this, verse 7, don't pray as a manipulative stranger to a servile God. We looked at that. But he does say, do pray as a child to a loving father. Well, yeah, that's awesome. How do I do that? Well, he tells you. Have a look at the next. And this is what we saw in the first talk. What is the basis for prayer? On what grounds do I approach God? Faith, hope, and love. That's the basis of the Christian life. So first of all, faith. Jesus says, our Father. When you have faith in Jesus, God becomes your Father. He wasn't your Father before. Now he's your Father. When you have faith in Jesus, God adopts you. It's not like the wicked witch. He doesn't steal you from your king and your queen and your palace and take you and lock you in a tower. It's the other way around. Satan had locked you in a tower. God freed you. And he brings you back to the palace. And he brings you into his family. And he adopts you as his child. And it's really, he really is your father. It's not pretend father like the wicked witch. He really is your Father because you have faith in Jesus, our Father. But it's not just faith in Jesus. It's love in the Trinity. That's the word our. It's love in the Trinity. When you come to the palace and you're adopted by God as your, he your Father, you his child, the experience of the family is one of love. Why our? Let me show it to you. It's Trinitarian. Because Jesus is your older brother. Jesus is the brother who left the palace and came to look for you and took you back to the Father's house. And Jesus is your brother who shares everything with you. His God is your God. Jesus' Father is your Father. That's why the our. It's you and Jesus. We share the same thing. And it's Trinitarian because it's the Spirit. The Father pours out the Holy Spirit so that you know in your heart, this is Romans 8, that you really are a child of God. The Spirit is shed abroad in your heart. And he spreads the love of God in your heart. And so now that you're in your Father's house, you are caught up in this relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a relationship of love, and you're bang in the middle. And so you say, our Father. It's faith in Jesus. It's love in the Spirit. But there's more. It's also hope in eternity. It's our Father in heaven. You were locked up in a tower, but the King sent his Son to free you, to bring you back to the palace. And in the palace, you don't sleep in the servants' quarters. You get to go into the throne room where your adoptive father is the emperor and rules the universe. And you're in the throne room as a child. And because he's in heaven, he rules over everything. and heaven is your new home. And so your future is sorted forever. You have a rock solid hope. That's the basis of prayer. Faith, hope, and love. Now, because you're a child of God and a co-heir with Jesus, you've got a real interest in the kingdom. And so that was the second talk. You seek first the kingdom of God. That's your first desire as an adopted child. And so this is how we pray. Hallowed be your name. We seek first the kingdom of God. Hallowed be your name. Father, the world has got you wrong. Father, they think things about you that are not true. Father, please save people so that they can see how amazing you are. Hallowed be your name. Secondly, we pray your kingdom come. Please, Father, you appointed your son Jesus to rule over the whole world. Please make more and more people stop fighting against him, lay down their weapons, submit to him before it's too late and they're destroyed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Father, may your plans and purposes come true because they are so good. They are better than ours. Father, Father, never mind what I want. Please, Father, do what you want because I love your will. It's good. Your will be done. And look as it says there in verse 10, on earth as it is in heaven. Because when God's will is done on earth, like heaven, heaven and earth will merge and everything will be heavenly. And that's how children of God pray. Now, Dwayne, what about me? Does anyone here care about my needs? What about me? And that's today. Our third talk in the Lord's Prayer is this. Your Father knows what you need. And we're going to ask him three things. And we'll go very quickly because I did want to summarize everything this morning. Very quickly. Here they go. Number one, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Everybody look at the first word. It's there for you in verse 11. Give. I would love to preach a whole sermon on that word, give. Give. Jesus teaches us, hear this clearly, our Father is a giver, not a taker. Give. Rapunzel's mother, the wicked witch, only took. Do you know that she gave Rapunzel stuff? She gave her jam. I saw the movie. But she only ever gave to Rapunzel in order to get. Deep down inside, us Christians think that our Father is like the wicked witch. We have to give to him. Yes, before he'll give to us. That is a lie. And it's not true. Our Father is a giver. Do not sit there thinking, what does God want from me? That is a bad question. Here's a better question. What does my Father want to give me? Because he is a giver, not a taker. The Bible does not say we give to God. The Bible says, God, give to us. Jesus says, give, give. In fact, I'll go further. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that God is the only giver in the universe. Really? Yes. Every single other being gives in order to get a little bit, sometimes a lot. Do you know what that's called? It's called bait. Most fish know this. Do you know what bait is? Bait is when you give someone a little bit so that you can reel them in and get a lot. Satan doesn't give, he baits. The world, and this is what our young people haven't yet understood, the world baits, it doesn't give. Pleasure baits, it doesn't give. Bait is so that you get a little bit, so they can get your soul, so they can take from you. Only God gives with no hooks in it. Only God gives. I'll prove it to you. Let's talk about the rain over the past few days in Perth. I've got a mate here from Scotland, and he is so relieved he's flying back to Scotland this afternoon because he can't stand the weather in Perth. So you must know how bad it's been. But you know the rain we've had. Who should we thank? Should we write an email to Scott Morrison? Dear government, thanks for thinking of us here in Perth and sending us rain. Who should we thank? Who gave it to us? How much did we pay for it? It was free. But it's not just the rain. Our Father gave His Son. Without us asking, who on this planet ever thought, dear God, I've got a great idea. How about you sacrifice your only son for me? No one has thought that. God gave us without us asking, without us even entering, as it is written. It has never entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love Him. God gave His Son. God is a giver. And if that is true, why do you doubt that He won't provide your food? Why do you think such mean thoughts about your Father, that He won't care for your physical needs? Ask Him, says Jesus. Look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. There's a couple of things we should notice. Look at what Jesus says. He does not say, give us this day our daily cake. Do not ask God to be wealthy. It is not your Father's will that you be wealthy. That is not His will for you. The prosperity gospel is satanic. Wisdom is to ask for bread. Here's the book of Proverbs. Two things I ask. Here is wisdom. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful me. Give me my daily bread. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? Have you seen my bank account? Don't worry, God. I got this. Because my bank account's huge. I don't want to say who is the Lord. Or I be poor and steal and have to go to extraordinary lengths and so profane the name of my God. So just give me my daily bread. Why does He say, remove from me falsehood and lying? He's praying, please don't let me believe the lies that money tells. Because money lies. Please don't let me believe it. So, bread, not cake. The other thing to notice is, give us this day our daily. God loves to give us what we need for today only. Do not pray, dear Father, please fill my bank account with 1 million loaves of bread so that I don't have to keep coming here and asking you for bread. Well, that's the point. He only gives you what you need every day so that you keep coming to Him. Because it was never about bread. It was about closeness and your relationship with Him. Those of you here this morning who have had the incredible privilege of suffering, you know what it's like to cling to your Father and say, oh God, just get me through today, please. You're in a very good position if that's you. You know I love numbers. So I've worked it out. I've listed all my worries, and you can do the same, and I've calculated that 93.78% of all our worries are not about today. They're about tomorrow. and your father won't even go there. God's saying, don't talk to me about tomorrow. Talk to me about today. I'll care for you today. Give me today my daily bread. Tomorrow we'll talk about tomorrow. But your father's not just a giver. Your father is also a forgiver. And that's the second thing. Forgive us our debts. Now, before we look at this, forgive us our debts, we've got to think about that. Isn't that a bit strange? Look at verse 12. Forgive us our debts. Why doesn't it say forgive us our sins? Why? That's a bit obscure. Why not just say forgive us our sins? Well, let's think about that a bit. So what are sins? Sins are things you've done, things you've said, things you've thought that are out of line with your relationship with your father. Okay? Those are sins. Basically, you're being an ungrateful child. That's what sin is. But debt is way wider than sin. Way wider. Even before you've done anything. Even before you've said anything. Even before you've thought anything. You already owe God. That's why he says debts. We owe God everything. Existence. Existence. Your existence is a debt. Did you make you? Oh, no. Well, then you owe God. Are you still breathing? Because some of you don't look like it, but that's okay. Don't you dare take another breath unless you admit you owe God. Because you didn't bring your own oxygen with you. It's almost as if God says, every breath you take, I'll be watching you. Was that one too obvious? Well, you're not all getting a chocolate, all right? Life, everything. But listen, folks, it's more than that. God is so stupendously glorious that just to know him is to owe him adoration. It's the way it is. And he's a father. And so there is a debt of honor. Here's what Malachi teaches us. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, says God, where's my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? And God is a father, and he is a master, so you owe him honor and fear. Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. No wonder this prayer says, hallowed be your name, because we've despised his name. Let me ask you a genuine question. Everyone here this morning, is it true? I'm asking you a genuine question. Is it true that you owe your parents nothing? Is it true that you owe your parents nothing? Well, maybe it is, in which case your parents are the devil. They must be the worst ever. But if they're even a little bit okay, you know you owe them something. Now, ratchet that up. God is a perfect father. How much do you think you owe him? So how do we pay our debt? Well, you could try religion. Try and pay him off like that. We could try and be good. We could try and fix our mistakes. We could leave church here this morning and try and do better. Or we could do satanic myob. Have you heard of myob? Mind your own business. Well, a satanic version of myob is this. It's a great calculation. Write this down. What you do is you take your debts to God, put a line, and you divide that by your suffering. And then you work out that God actually owes you. It's satanic, and it's a very clever calculation, but like all accountants, you know, it's a lie. It's just not true. The only way you can repay your father is do what Jesus says. Go to your father and say, wipe it clean, please. That's all. Simple. Go to your father and say, forgive me my debts.
Wipe it away.
That's all. Oh, but how can God do that? I'm an accountant. That doesn't work in the real world. That's horrible accounting. All those debts and God just wipes them away. That's a travesty of justice. Oh, God. So you weren't that concerned about your honor because when I didn't pay you, you just let it go. So you're not really that concerned about your honor, are you? No. Who's teaching us to pray? Forgive us our debts. Jesus. How can he say, ask your father to forgive your debts? Because he's come from the palace as the prince to the world in order to pay our debts. Jesus is here to pay our debts so that we can say, Father, wipe away my debts because of my older brother, Jesus. Have a look at what the Bible teaches in Colossians. And you who were dead, you were locked in that tower, God made alive with your older brother, Jesus. And having forgiven us all our trespasses, look what happened. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You know when Jesus hung on that cross, there was a little notice nailed to the cross, which tells us his crime. That's how they did it in those days. Well, actually, the word's quite technical. Look at that language there. The canceling the record of debt. That's a technical word. When you run up a debt, you have a word. That word, I won't go into it. And it's a written little statement that says, this is your debt. The Bible takes that picture and says, as Jesus Christ hung on that cross, that debt of yours to God, which was pinned above his head, was cancelled, nailed to the cross. So you need to look at Jesus as your benefactor and ask your Father to forgive your debts. And then Jesus takes it, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus takes it that you will just become like your Father. If you've adopted by God, you'll become like God. Freely you've received, so freely give. And you will go out and do the same for those who owe you. I mean, just imagine sitting in your bedroom. I will never forgive her for what she's done to me. Father, please forgive all my debts. I mean, it's easy to. In fact, folks, here is the power to forgive. To not add up the $200 someone owes you, but to focus on the trillions of dollars that Jesus died to cancel on your behalf. And lastly, deliver us from evil. Look at verse 13. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. I spoke earlier about worry. And I guess, can I take a guess here? I reckon most of our prayers are about things we worry about. I think that's fair. And I think it's right to take your worries to God. But I've got a surprise for you. Jesus says that you're not worried enough. Jesus says you should be afraid. But Jesus says you're worrying about all the wrong things. You're frightened about all the wrong things. Here's what Jesus says you should be afraid of. One thing only. Sin. Your biggest worry, your biggest fear should be, I don't want to offend you, Father. And that's why we pray, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil. You wake up in the morning, you get out of bed, you got your Snoopy pillow next to you, and you put your feet on the floor and you start praying, oh Father, I'm so worried. I think I'm going to get retrenched today. Don't worry. Your Father knows what you need. Father, I'm so worried about these cancer results. I have to go and see the doctor today. I'm so frightened of this cancer result. Don't worry. Your Father knows what you need. He has what you should worry about. Father, I'm so worried about sinning today. Help me. Please deliver me from evil. Today, Father, I'm going to the beach. Please, there's going to be bikinis everywhere. Father, help me not to look where I shouldn't. That's what you should pray about, says Jesus. Father, today I'm getting paid. Father, please don't let me trust my money. Please keep me safe. Today, Father, we're going to dinner with so-and-so. Please, Father, don't let me covet their house when I sit with them in their mansion. That's what you should pray, says Jesus. Look at that word in verse 13. Lead us not. I want everyone to know you will be led. Does everyone know this? Is Donald Trump here this morning? No. Other than him, every other person on this planet is led by something. Satan will lead you. School will lead you. TikTok will lead you. YouTube will lead you. Society will lead you. And worst of all, your own heart will lead you. Somebody's going to lead you. So do what Jesus says. Father, will you lead me? You lead me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me. Let's step back as we close. Look at those things. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Deliver us from evil. Step back and look at that. Can you all see what true Christianity is? It is a 24/7 relationship in the presence as a child with a loving father. Look at it. Point one is about the present. Care for me, Father, right now. Point one is about now. Point two is about the past. Father, I've done this. Forgive my failings. Point three is about the future. Lead me to past, present, future. It's all about a constant walk in your Father's presence. Let me close. I'm going to close with words straight out of the Bible. Psalm 139. Even before a word is on my tongue, Father, you know it altogether. That's what Jesus says. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You hem me in, behind, and before. You lay your hand on me. Everywhere I look, Father, behind me, in front of me, above me, now, you're there. Such knowledge is too much for me. It's too high. I can't get there. Where will I go from your spirit? Where will I flee from your presence, Father? If I go to heaven, that's where you rule the universe. If I go down, make my bed in Sheol, there you are. If I take the wings of the morning and live in the furthest parts of the sea, even the most isolated city in the world, Perth, there you will lead me. There your hand will guide me. People, you've been lied to. Your father is not a wicked witch. He's not trying to steal joy from you. He's not trying to take from you. He is utterly delightful and perfectly loving. Pray like this. Live like this. Die like this. Let's pray. I'll give you a few moments to be a child, to go to your father, tell him you've done wrong, Tell him you've thought wrong. Tell him you want to take from him. Tell him you want to receive all the love that he offers. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us all our debts. Lead us, deliver us, be a good father. Amen.